President-elect Donald Trump floats a deal with Russia, and outgoing Vice President Joe Biden makes his last official visit to Ukraine. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So in an interview with the Times of London, Trump suggested he would offer to end sanctions on Russia in exchange for a nuclear arms deal. Now, I was a bit puzzled by this. Usually nuclear arms deals are negotiated on their own merits, with each side making compromises and aren't usually linked to other policy issues. What was your reaction to this?
Yeah, I mean, that's similar to I was surprised for the same reasons, I think. I mean, I think in the past, the U.S. certainly and Russia also has talked about keeping things separate, keeping nuclear arms negotiations separate from other things. One thing that strikes me as interesting about that offer or suggestion that he might make such an offer is just the comments in general. The president is coming in, relations are bad with Russia. He's saying, I want to find where we can work together and work together against terrorism. I'd like a nuclear arms deal. It's a little bit familiar. Mm-hmm. This is, Obama also sought to improve relations. And one of the main ways that he did that was by negotiating a nuclear arms deal, the New START deal with Russia. But this time, Trump who's obviously has criticized Obama, is in a way going into the presidency with some similar goals in terms of Russia. But, as you say, he is linking, or he is apparently linking, nuclear arms negotiations with this idea of lifting sanctions, which seems potentially dangerous to me because they're kind of, making Russia's maybe strongest suit, you're putting it on the table right away, saying, look, okay, we might reduce sanctions or lift sanctions if you agree to reduce nuclear arms. So you're sort of saying, here's your strong suit, use it as you will.
Right.
And it's also, I mean, in my view, I guess, what does that mean for the future if Russia then, if nuclear arms are always on the table in any negotiation about things that are much more specific, what is that going to mean in the future? If Russia is dissatisfied with something the United States does, is it going to say, okay, well, now we're going to ratchet up our nuclear arms again?
Right.
So I think it's the link is a bit surprising.
And it's an interesting signal. Incidentally, in that interview, Trump was also critical of NATO. He said they're obsolete because they don't spend enough forces fighting terrorism. He expressed support for Brexit and predicted that other European countries would follow. He was very critical of German Chancellor Angela Merkel. In a lot of ways, it sounded a lot like Putin. And that also struck me as well.
Yeah, I mean, making similar points to what Putin has made, and also just the kind of the signals that it sends, the kind of atmosphere that it creates days before he takes office in Europe. I mean, there are already reactions of concern by NATO and I think by EU members of someone who's sort of criticizing the both the EU and NATO.
Is a break from like decades of U.S. transatlanticism.
Absolutely, yeah. So as a signal, and this is I guess both sides have kind of denied that there are plans afoot for a Trump-Putin summit in Europe.
But there was a report that it might be in Reykjavik and the FT and elsewhere, and then it was denied by the Trump.
Right. Although I guess Russia is reported to be seeking such a thing. But I mean, you got to wonder where would they be able to meet? Maybe Reykjavik or somewhere else. But after kind of this criticism of the EU and NATO, it might be hard for them to find a place. To host them.
And this also comes not in isolation. It comes as key members of Trump's foreign policy team, Defense Secretary Designate James Mattis and CIA Director Designate Mike Pompeo, made highly critical comments of Russia in their confirmation hearings in the U.S. Senate, which sounded like more continuity than anything. And you have to wonder coming in what this administration's Russia policy is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna make any guesses
because, as you say, you know, those are kind of the things that they said are sort of, I guess, reassuring to people who want things not to change so much.
But the things Trump is saying things are going to change dramatically.
Right. So again, are they talking this way for the confirmation hearings, or is it a real split, or, you know, do we even know?
Yeah,
we don't know and they may not know.
And all this, of course, comes in the context of all of the unsubstantiated yet very damaging and embarrassing revelations about Trump's ties to Russia, which make this drama that's about to start on Friday extremely interesting moving forward.
Absolutely.
On a related theme, Vice President Joe Biden arrived in Ukraine today for his final visit. Now, call me crazy, but I think the Ukrainians are going to really miss Joe Biden. he spends a lot of time there. He once joked that he spent more time with Petro Poroshenko than he did with his wife. Your thoughts on this visit, Steve? A courtesy, a swan song? Is he playing like reassurer-in-chief as he often has throughout this administration? What's the vice president hoping to accomplish here?
Yeah, I think he is doing all those things. I think one main purpose is just to tell Ukraine, look, you know, we're not abandoning you. You know, we meant this. We support you. And the other side of it is, you know, both to give Ukraine a little push again on the, you know, reform, anti-corruption efforts, to say, please stick with this stuff. You're probably going to need to all the more so now. But I think it's also a signal to Trump and his administration of, you know, look, this is a country that we need to support. And he did say, I hope the incoming administration will be a strong supporter and partner of Ukraine. So I think part of the signal is to the Trump administration.
Yeah, no, I suspect behind closed doors there's going to be some of the tough love. Like, you're probably not going to have the American support you've enjoyed in the past, and therefore it's really incumbent upon you to get these reforms through and to be prepared for a tough ride. I'm wondering if that was what's being said behind closed doors. That, of course, we don't know yet. We see the public comments; they're all very predictable.
Right.
We'll keep watching this. All right, that's all we have time for today. We'll wrap it up. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been RFARL's news editor, Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now I leave you, as always, with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.